the PodFix Network.
Thanks for being available. I appreciate it.
Hey, absolutely. It's long overdue.
You know I love having you on the show.
Hey, look, absolutely. I love replacing Adam. Sorry, not sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm up to speed on things here, people. Well, hello, listeners. You're listening to This Week Today, a comedy podcast that takes a brief look at this week in history, news, entertainment, and more.
Welcome to the show. I'm Toph. Adam is not with us today. In his place, we have a longtime friend of the show. Please welcome our MVP, Keith Galla.
Hello, greetings, and good day.
Hey, Keith. How the heck are you?
I'm good, man. I am good. I'm happy to be back.
Well, I'm glad to have you back as well. Thank you for filling in for Adam.
I would like to say thank you to Adam for filling in for me these long stretches.
So the show that you've been on, that's actually you co-hosting, and every other show that Adam is on, that's him filling in for you.
I also want to thank you for stepping up from your co-hosting duties on those weeks I'm missing, and to Adam for stepping in and kind of holding down the fort for any of those weeks I'm missing. But yes, it's good to be back on the show where I belong.
There's no question. Mm-hmm. What have you been up to since last we spoke?
Oh boy, what have I been up to? We like to say on the Monster Hunter podcast, I've been shunning streaming television to watch old TV shows. Been shunning the millions and millions of hours of original content so I can watch a 30-year-old cartoon and a 50-year-old black and white TV show.
And just MVPing all over all of it.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, that goes anywhere with me.
Just marking your territory in the most valuable way possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's at home, too. I do that as well here at home. It's, anywhere I go.
Do you have to do that to defend different parts of your home from your children?
No, not necessarily. They figured it out after, like, the third time.
So they're not like up and coming MVPers, and so they're trying to compete with you at this point.
No, I keep some secrets to myself.
Wow, so your own children don't know that you're the MVP.
No, they just don't know the secrets of MVPing. They know I'm an MVP.
I was gonna say, how would you possibly keep something like that secret?
The billboard I put up outside the house really doesn't help keep it a secret.
Big sign says, so.
Here lives the MVP.
Yeah.
Hashtag MVPing.
I wonder if that's intimidating for them to be the sons of the MVP. I mean, those are big shoes to fill as they grow older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, I got to give them some name for.
Yeah, for sure.
And if they can hit the billboard while peeing, hey, they are definitely MVP.
That's how you hand over the crown when they can finally arc it all the way to the 60-foot billboard.
Yep.
I think that's fair. They have to be able to do at least that.
Yeah, if you can do that, you can have my title.
Makes sense. All right, well, thank you very much for being here.
Sure, man, sure.
And with that, let's get started and take a look at the calendar of special days so everyone knows what to celebrate this week. Keith, today is National Siblings Day.
Excellent. I got some siblings.
How many siblings do you have?
I have two stepsisters, a stepbrother, and a foreign exchange student.
A foreign exchange student?
Not officially adopted, but I hang with him every year at Christmas and stuff and Thanksgiving. I mean, he introduces me as his brother. It's a little bit harder for me to introduce him as my brother and not explain he's a foreign exchange student, but,
Wait, so where does he stay?
He lives in Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. How old is he?
52. he's been with my family since I was like 13, so.
Wait, he stays with your family currently?
No. He doesn't currently stay with my family. He stayed with my family when I was like 12 or 13.
Okay.
But he's part of the family.
Okay, because the way you were making it sound is that when you were 12 or 13, a foreign exchange student came over And 40 years later, he still hasn't gone home.
I mean, he hasn't gone home, but he's in his own home. He's got a wife and he's got some kids. my niece and nephew. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for sorting that out for us. And
No problem. Hopefully I talked enough that we can skip the next day. That's for sure.
No, we can't do that. Tomorrow is National Eggs Benedict Day. Now, you don't like Eggs Benedict, do you?
No, it's the one way of eggs I do not like.
Oh, I love Eggs Benedict. Okay.
That and pickled, but, you know.
I think Tuesday is something you can appreciate. National 8-Track Tape Day. You never owned any 8-Tracks?
No. I was a cassette guy. That's my first real introduction.
Oh, I did. All right, well, Wednesday is National Doppelganger Day. Do you have a doppelganger?
Hey, Kevin James. How you doing, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Give it up.
Thursday is... Keith, National High Five Day.
Yeah, which I won't do with Kevin James, but yeah, whatever.
You wouldn't high five Kevin James?
No.
Why?
Because people wanted me to Paul blart it up and get on a segue and stuff. Thanks a lot, buddy.
He was also in Hitch.
Yeah, that's the one that kind of ruined it for me. Yeah, also, I don't know. I've heard he's not like the greatest guy in the world. So.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
All right, well, Friday, Keith, is National Read a Roadmap Day. When was the last time you unfolded a traditional paper roadmap on a road trip?
Never, because I'm driving. It's a little hard to do that.
The last time you had a foreign exchange student?
About the same time I probably read a map. It's got to be at least 15 years ago, maybe.
Well, Keith, we will wrap up this week of glorious celebrations on Saturday with something I know you appreciate because you and I have done this together. National Record Store Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see if I can find that Mr. T record on a discount.
Well, it was cheap, too. It was like $8 or something.
Yeah, I know.
And then it was on the internet for 40.
Don't remind me of my mistakes. Okay, let's not do that.
I think I said to you, you should just go ahead and buy that, and you didn't.
And I should have. I should have.
Yeah. That's okay. All right, Keith. Well, with that, let's turn our attention to this week in history.
Absolutely. Let's go way back. I don't know. This might be one of the earliest things that you guys have ever listed on the show.
I think so.
753 BC, Rome was founded. And thus, all roads then were made paved because they all lead there.
That's right.
1836, the Texas militia routs Mexicans in the Battle of San Jacinto. Two things here. One, using the term routs during that, it seems like it's more like a sporting event. Like it was a basketball game. The Texas militia routed the Mexicans.
Yeah.
The Battle of San Jacinto. Also, I think San Jacinto... I want to say that might be the junior college there that Larry Johnson went to.
So you thought this was a military event. It actually was a basketball game.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the San Jacinto Mexicans versus the Texas militia.
That's right.
And it was a rout.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I will admit that then, a little while later in 1864, I made sure to look this one up because I thought you were pulling a fast one on me.
No,
Hundreds of Union soldiers were killed in the Fort Pillow Massacre. Really puts a different spin on the whole idea of a pillow fort then.
Or a pillow fight.
Yeah, pillow fight, pillow... this is a massacre at a pillow fort, basically. And I think it really kind of sours the idea of that fun, traditional thing. In 1865, John Wilkes Booth sticks his foot out, causing a fatal trip and fall. And that's the end of President Abraham Lincoln. 1876, the first National League baseball game is played between the Boston Red Caps and the Philadelphia Athletics. That's now what the Oakland Athletics. And the Boston Red Caps become the Red Sox, or are they just the team that disappeared?
Are you asking if I did more than cursory research?
Well, you're a sports guy. I thought maybe you just knew that off the top of your head.
Please, sir. It's baseball.
All right. In 1897, the first Boston Marathon was run. Not going to tell you who won because we don't have the cursory research. In 1945, Hitler pulls LeBron. He quits. He also admits defeat, which LeBron doesn't do.
In your face, Hitler!
That's courtesy of my 4-year-old daughter, Ellie.
Yeah, I mean, she's always been against Hitler from right out the womb.
Right from the first time she spoke, she took a very controversial anti-Hitler stance.
Yeah, it's her first words.
That's right. Those were her first words.
In 1978, the Blues Brothers make their premiere on Saturday Night Live. Then I think it's in 1980 they actually have their movie debut.
Yep, that's right.
Came out on June 20th, 1980, if I remember right. Giving me another decent birthday movie. Also in 1980, Rosie Ruiz fakes the Boston Marathon win. So we went from 1897, the first Boston Marathon, and then somebody faked it, not even a century later.
That's
in
right.
1986, probably the only thing we need for this week in history, Michael Jordan scored 63 points in a playoff game, still lost. That's the worst part of that whole thing. They still lost. And then finally in 2008, Danica Patrick becomes the first woman to win an Indy race.
Nice.
Lots of good stuff there.
All right, Keith, well, with that, let's move on to the news.
Sure. A catchy jingle that certain people who couldn't bother to show up this week love. Play it.
All right, Keith, I have to apologize because we have a massive, massive backlog of stories. And the only way to resolve that, unfortunately, is news quick hits.
See, I knew it. I knew it. It was a setup.
God. There was no other time that we could have gotten to.
Oh, yeah. There's no other time than to get the one guy who's anti-quick hit.
Yeah, it's just the way that fell. And
this is going to screw my presidential campaign now, Chris. I'm running on the no quick hits platform.
Yeah, you should have made that promise because, we really have our backs against the wall, and the only way to get out of this jam is for news quick hits.
No new taxes, no news quick hits.
Yeah, sorry.
I really was going to get the youth vote on that. But fine, sure, whatever.
I know, and you just went on Arsenio and played the saxophone. You thought that was going to put you over the top, but no.
I mean, hopefully by 2024, people will have forgotten.
Well, I certainly hope so.
All right.
But in the meantime, I want to ask you this question, Keith.
Do I like quick hits? No.
No, I would never ask you that.
Go ahead.
What payment method do you use most often when you're buying something?
Probably a debit card of some sort.
Okay. Have you considered planting a microchip in your hand?
No. No, I haven't. At least not for that purpose.
Because that's what Patrick Homan has done. So when he goes in to buy something, he just places his left hand near the contactless card reader and the payment goes through.
So he just did this on his own, or he volunteered to do this? Like, is he...
Well, the first time that someone got a microchip planted in their hand for this purpose was back in 1998, believe it or not. Now, Paul has only had his since 2019. But he voluntarily had someone plant this microchip in his hand about 3 years ago.
Story's not as impressive now if he volunteered for it. I just thought maybe he just did it himself. he popped a little chip off of his debit card and then cut his hand open, like just shoved it in there.
No, that's not what happened. Are you confusing this with the news story from last week's episode?
No, I'm not. But I still think that would be... It'd be a more impressive story if he was like, yeah, I got tired of carrying a wallet around, so I just sliced open my hand, shoved my card in the slot.
Some home surgery.
Yeah. Look, at some point in time, I guess, maybe, yeah. I mean, I would consider it. I don't think I'm not jumping on the bandwagon right now, though.
Well, so you, if you choose to, and then also the listeners that are listening, if you hold up your left hand, the little web portion that's between your pointer finger and your thumb... That's where this microchip is, and it weighs less than a gram, and it's only a little bit bigger than a grain of rice. So, Keith, next what I want to do is I want to introduce you to Victor Simone Shavers, age 43. He has a roommate, and they live in a small apartment together. And he and his roommate were talking about what a mosquito looks like. Now, I didn't really think that that was really in dispute. I thought everyone kind of knew what a mosquito looked like. But they began to argue about it, and the argument escalated. And so Shavers grabbed a stick from behind his bed, because they were sitting in the room, in the bedroom that they shared together. And by the way, what I'm envisioning is like is kind of like Step Brothers, where they have like twin beds or like bunk beds, like these grown men that are roommates. Anyway, so he grabs a stick from behind his bed and started hitting the other guy in the head with it. The roommate grabbed a metal bat from his closet and hit Shavers multiple times in the head. And the roommate ended up with deep cuts on his left cheek and the side of his head, required multiple stitches. Shavers had a cut on the back of his head and possibly a broken hand, according to the affidavit.
You bring a stick, we bring a bat. This is the Chicago way. I'm not even going to bother trying to do a Sean Connery impression, but that's what I'm getting. Like, why do you have a stick sitting in your room?
Well, and the article said that he hit his roommate approximately 6 times in the head, but he was still able to kind of keep his composure enough to go to a closet and retrieve a metal bat.
Hey, if you're able to get away that much, why don't you just grab the stick and hit him with the stick right. as well? Also, I'm sure someplace in the article, and we skipped over it, I mean, how high are these guys that they're even having this discussion in the first place?
Right. Right.
Also, do they have, what are the descriptions? What do they think a mosquito looks like? Did they draw it up? Do we have drawings of this? Like, what do we got?
No, the article didn't indicate.
No.
Yeah. Shavers admitted that he did hit his roommate first. He's going to be charged with a misdemeanor count of family violence assault. His total bail is going to be $28,000.
All because he couldn't agree on what a mosquito looked like.
Uh-huh. Yep. By the way, that happened here in Dallas. That was from my backyard.
If it wasn't there, it was in Florida, so.
Hey, Keith, how much would you have to be paid to get breast implants?
There's no price for that.
No price whatsoever? Literally no price?
No. I mean, I already got man boobs, so, yeah.
So $1 million, you wouldn't do it for $1 million?
Nah, nope.
$10 million?
No, I don't know.
For 1 year?
No, I don't know.
$10 million for 1 year, and then you can take them out.
Yeah, no, no.
Wow, okay. Well, back in 1997, Brian Zembic was on vacation.
Wow, you got bored with news. You really were backed up. We got stuff from 97, huh?
Yeah, I know. Now you see how important News Quick Hits is.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyways, there's a reason why I'm going back that far, which, by the way, is 25 years. So in 1997, Brian Zembic was on vacation with a couple of friends and his girlfriend, and they got into a conversation, and by the end of it, he'd agreed to get breast implants for $100,000.
Chump. Okay, look, in a hypothetical, I mean, you're anything less than $1 million, you're an idiot.
Well, the story also said that, so obviously he's a bit of a gambler, and he found a plastic surgeon. I don't remember where it was. But anyways, the article says that the surgeon was also a gambler, and somehow he made a bet with the surgeon and ended up with getting him for free. Like, the surgeon lost a bet to him, and he installed them for free.
Yeah, they were betting on the Texas Militia versus the San Jacinto Mexicans.
That's right, that's right. And to both of their surprise, you know, the Texas Militia routed the Mexican San Jacintos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He covered the spread.
Mm-hmm, yep. And the dare also included an additional $10,000 for every additional year that he keeps them.
Oh, he still has them, doesn't he?
25 years later, Keith, he still has them.
First of all, I'm no longer his friend at this point. I now hate him. Also, I assume he matches it up with the same day that Bobby Bonilla gets his check. They both get paid on
Bobby,
the same day.
Bobby Bonilla? Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, on Bobby Bonilla Day. is it July 1st or something like that, I think?
And, it might be.
Yeah, and so he cashes in his check that same day. I mean, hey, look, probably got to do whatever he wanted. Like, any, like, extra trips every year, it paid off his house quickly. His, you know, kids need a pool. Yeah, we got 10 grand coming. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dad.
I got to pay off. I have a roof that I'm paying off. A new roof that I'm paying off. Man, I 10 grand, that'd be probably kind of nice. So I guess, yeah, so 100,000 for the initial, and then 10 grand a month?
10 grand a year for each additional year.
10 grand a year for every additional year. So he got another 250? So he's gotten 350 total now?
Yes. But he's also had breast implants. He's 38C breast implants for 25 years.
Yeah, I still think he got ripped off, but look.
He definitely got ripped off. Are you kidding me?
The fact that he's getting 10 grand a year is a pretty slick move, and he didn't even have to pay for him, so there's no out-of-pocket expense. So he's not a complete idiot, except for the fact that I guess $100,000 in 1997 seemed like a pretty decent deal. Nowadays, nobody's going below $10 million. I mean, and a million per year for every year after that. Yeah.
Right. No, this is a terrible deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if that's not a good way to make money, I have another idea for you, Keith.
Oh, no. I didn't know I was in... I didn't know I needed money-making schemes. Okay.
Gilberto Escamilla, age 53. He worked at the Daryl B. Hester Juvenile Detention Center. And that's where he came up with a scheme of ordering fajitas using county funds and selling them for his own profit.
To the inmates?
No, to, like... So it's obviously a food. They have to go to food vendors to get food to order, you know, or to bring in food for the detention center, mm-hmm. like when you're stocking a restaurant or a cafeteria. And so he would add to the order fajitas, and then he would.
Oh, then he would just take those and leave and sell them himself.
Yes, he would keep them at his house and basically was selling fajitas out of his house using county funds.
And he was doing it to make $10,000 per year to pay his friend who he's been. Paying for breast implants for the last 25 years.
No, actually, Mr. Escamilla did far better because over a 9-year period, Keith, he sold over $1.2 million worth of fajitas.
That he never once paid for.
That's correct.
Some damn good fajitas, too.
Well, he finally got caught when one of his secret customers called to confirm the receipt of 800 pounds of fajitas.
One of his secret customers.
Well, I mean, he wasn't obviously telling the detention center. So that customer called the detention center to confirm, hey, just want to let you know we got the order. And the other employees were like, wait a second, what order are you talking about? Well, you know, the 800 pounds of fajitas that you just shipped us. Yeah. And they're like, that doesn't make sense because we don't serve fajitas. And why would we ship them to you? And so that's how he got caught.
Oh, please tell me he's in that they now have him in that detention center. That would be great.
Well, it's a juvenile detention center.
I don't care. It's still the even worse. Make him just stay there regardless.
Well, this is the part of the story, of course, that Adam and I pay particular attention to, which is, did they get charged correctly? Well, Escamilla was arrested and charged with a first-degree felony and faced up to 99 years in prison.
I'm sorry, what?
99 years in prison.
For fajita rustling.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Which basically is just, and it sounds like he just, like, when the orders came through, he was in charge of the guy who put the final stuff on, and so he just would put in an extra address and say, ship these fajitas to this person, another address, ship to those person. So he didn't pay shipping on these.
He might have been doing that, but according to the article, he was keeping them at his house. Because they searched his house. When he got arrested, they searched his house and found a bunch of fajitas.
And you know his neighbors are probably like, those are like human body parts. They're taking them out of his freezer. He's keeping a dead body in there this whole time. He's like, no, it's just steak fajitas.
Well, unless he was treating his neighbors to fajitas.
Maybe he was.
taking a little off the top for himself and his buddies.
Sure, why not?
He ultimately got 50 years in prison and the maximum fine of $10,000 on top of having to repay the $1,251,578.72 worth of stolen fajitas.
Fajitas.
Yep. That's a lot of fajitas, Keith.
Fajitas.
Yep.
I...
Wow. So that's referred to now as the Great Texas Fajita Heist.
Not too different from the Sheboygan Nacho incident, is it? It's another very similar thing there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, close.
Huh.
Well, Keith, unfortunately, we do not have time for any additional stories.
Thank God.
But I do have a headline.
Oh, sure.
Woman accused of killing two cyclists tells Utah police she was defecating uncontrollably.
Okay, I can see why this can't be a quick hit. There's a lot to unpack there. And I'm sure that you know you'll get around to it. You do every effort to get around to it in a future episode.
Yes, yes. We will make every possible effort, good listener, to get to that in a future episode.
Yeah, I don't want to be scheduled for that one, so just so you know.
You don't want to come on your own show to discuss that story?
Yeah, no, no, no. That just sounds kind of disgusting.
All right. Well, with that, Keith, do you have some celebrity birthdays for us?
Absolutely. All right. Maria Sharapova is 35 years old. It's really kind of amazing. You see her play tennis for so long, it's really kind of odd to see 35. Even more so is Marshawn Lynch is 36. I swear I thought he was 40-something. That would have made much more sense to me.
He's funny on commercials.
Yeah, he was actually pretty good in that Will Arnett improv detective show. Murderville?
Murderville, yeah.
Yeah, he was actually pretty good on there, but I would have thought he was in his 40s as well. Oh, my fellow alum, Tony Romo, 42 years old. Jennifer Garner, she is 50 now, still slinging those credit cards. Carmen Electra, also 50. I don't think I would have assumed that those two were the same age either.
Which one was older?
I would have thought Carmen Electra was older.
Okay.
Yeah. Rob Riggle, 52. Me and my wife were just talking about Holy Moly the other day, and I hope it comes back over the summer. Love that show. Suge Knight, 57 years old. No longer the owner of Death Row Records. I think Snoop bought that. Conan O'Brien, 59. Man, he's getting up there. Andie MacDowell, 64. Jessica Lange is 73. The mayor of Quahog, Rhode Island, James Woods, 75. Oh, no, he's not the mayor. They just named the high school after him in Family Guy. That's right. He is 75 years old, as is Iggy Pop. One more year past that, Tim Curry is a nice 76. Jack Nicholson is 85. And Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, 96.
All right, how about some born this week, but now dead?
All right, well, thank you, Keith, and thank you, Clay Groves. I have two people that were born on this day, but are now dead. First, Vladimir Lenin died in 1924 at the age of 54. Today, he would have been 152.
Man, I love his albums with Paul McCartney. They're so great.
He wrote that song, Imagine. It's the best.
Yeah. Way to go, Yoko, for getting away with those two.
And next, Bill Shakespeare died in 1616 at the age of 52. Today, he would have been 406.
Youngster.
And Keith, we have just one more thing before we go.
Absolutely. I'm sure we do.
We've discussed this a couple times before on the show. And although April is one of my favorite months because that's finally when the weather breaks and starts to warm up, it's actually a time of terrible human tragedy. And actually, writer T.S. Eliot didn't know how right he was when he wrote, "April is the cruelest month." Have you ever taken inventory of all the horrific things that have happened in April?
My mom was born in April, so I hope you're not listening to that. Although she was the same day as the Titanic and also JFK being shot?
No, JFK was shot in November.
Ah, okay. Somebody else died. Abraham Lincoln and also the Titanic, I think, were on the same day, right?
Well, I'm going to give you a list. Now, this is not a complete list, but it's quite long.
Is this open to, like, opinion, or?
What would you have an opinion about?
If it's actually a tragedy or not?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll let you decide if these are tragedies.
All right. Fire away. Fire away.
I can't wait for you to rule that the things on this list are not tragedies. I'm looking forward to that.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
You've really set yourself up, so let's get going on this.
All right.
So over the last 150 years, there have been an unusual number of natural and man-made catastrophes occurring within a 9-day segment of April, and here are just a few. 1865, Abraham Lincoln's fatal trip and fall. 1906, the San Francisco earthquake. Now just jump in when you think one of these is not a tragedy. 1912, the sinking of the Titanic. 1917, the U.S. enters World War I. 61, the Bay of Pigs invasion. 68, the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. 86, the Chernobyl disaster. 89, 47 sailors killed in the explosion of the USS Iowa. 93, the end of the Branch Davidian standoff in Waco. 94, Kurt Cobain's suicide. 95, Oklahoma City bombing. 99, the Columbine shootings. 07, the Virginia Tech shootings. Also in 07 was the shooting at the Johnson Space Center. 2010 was the Deepwater Horizon rig explosion. 2013 was the Boston Marathon bombings. Also that year was the Texas fertilizer plant explosion. And of course, Keith, April 15th, tax day.
All right, you got me.
There is just one more that I left off the list. Last but not least, April 20th, Adolf Hitler's birthday.
No, still tragedy.
Yeah. Of course, he died on April 30th.
In your face, Hitler!
Man, I really wanted to be able to call something out there, but every single one, I was like, I'm going to offend somebody if I say that. So yeah, we'll skip by that. That's fine.
That was in a 9-day stretch in the last 150 years in the month of April.
Do you think if you just picked out any month, you could find like a stretch of days in every single month that you could rattle off some big stuff?
I don't think quite like that.
Yeah. This is the 27 Yankees of tragedies.
That's right.
Real murderer's row.
That's the best possible context you could put that in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Keith, with that, we've reached the end of this episode of This Week Today.
Well, sorry to you.
Before we go, would you like to tell everyone about your shows and where to find you?
Oh, absolutely, Chris. Absolutely. I'm on a lot of podcasts lately. The main one right now is That Was Great, Wasn't It? Is a cartoon rewatch show. I for some reason thought Pro Stars from 1991 would be a good thing to cover. Chris, you've been on the show. It is a fun show regardless of the material. And I do that, and I have different guests every week. And then myself, my buddy Derek Glasscock, who's been on the show before, and also Terry Vicroy, we have teamed up to become the Munster Hunters. And we are watching all the Munsters episodes and kind of recapping and discussing how ridiculous those are. And, Chris, I'd like to let you know that sometime in probably the next month or so, the Pop-Up Film Cast will be returning as well.
Yes. I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah.
Did you mention Twitter where you'd like for people to come find you?
Oh, at Pop-Up Film Cast, at Munster Hunters, at Midnight Riders, at How Great Was That?
All right. Keith, how about some brief credits before we go? Come join us in our Facebook group.
I just gave them to you, and I wasn't even brief.
How about some brief credits for this show before we go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The MVP here occasionally, and Chris likes to sit in and host for me, as Adam. We have a group called the Gravity Beard Interns over on Facebook you can check out. And you can follow us on Twitter at This Week Pod.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Chris, you're here more often than I am. If I missed anything, go ahead.
Perhaps the number for the JonBenet Ramsey Crime Tips Hotline. That is 214-531-3936. We'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network, as is the other shows that Keith mentioned. For more information on all of that, go to podfixnetwork.com or search at PodFix on Twitter. Thank you to our friend Phil Rood for our custom logo. For the MVP, I'm your co-host, Toph. You've been listening to This Week Today. It's what your ears will want to be listening to. Say goodbye, Keith.
Goodbye.
This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network.
All right, Keith. Well, with that, let's turn our attention
the mood,
to this
the mood
week
is really
in
sour now.
You want to just quit the show?
I'm not LeBron, so no, I won't.